Howdy, neighbors. Ron Hayes, Beef Buzzing with you today with Dan Hallstrom of the U.S. Meat Export Federation. We're back with Dan in just a moment. Checking in on the Beef Checkoff, joining us today, Heather Buckmaster with the Oklahoma Beef Council. Heather, let's talk about some of the efforts the Checkoff's been doing to work with school teachers in telling the nutritional and sustainable story of beef.
Absolutely. To get beef into classrooms, the American Farm Bureau Foundation for Agriculture, a contractor to the Beef Checkoff, engages with teachers across the country to integrate beef curriculum into their lesson plans. The foundation keeps teachers involved and puts beef top of mind in the classroom through in-person farm tours, virtual webinars, and so much more. Over the summer, 33 biology teachers and curriculum administrators participated in an on-the-farm STEM event where they visited Tennessee ranches. During the event, educators worked alongside beef producers and extension education professionals to develop a potential high school curriculum around genetics, grazing, biodiversity, meat science, and reproduction. To learn more about this Beef Checkoff funded program with the American Farm Bureau Foundation for Agriculture, visit drivingdemandforbeef.com.
Our own Casey Shepard had the opportunity in recent days to talk with Dan Hallstrom, President and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation, and talked about several aspects of the meat export scene, including the supply chain difficulties here in 2021 and the hope that things are gradually getting better.
This port congestion issue, I mean, it's a shortage of containers, but it's much more than that. It's a shortage of chassis to move the containers. It's a shortage of truckers. It's really a lot of moving parts. The good thing is that there's been a lot of focus on it. I mean, it's really front and center in conversations today, and which is a good thing. And I do think that it feels like things are starting to turn for the better there. But, boy, this is really a threat to all the momentum we have on the export side.
Well, I know the last time we talked, you and I kind of mentioned that we really need to get that out in the open. And I have seen it a lot more on the news these days.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's front and center, which is good. We need to address it. And I think there's no lack of understanding that it's an issue. So this is a good thing. But nevertheless, this morning we have an excess of 55 vessels, you know, still hung up outside of Long Beach. You know, this is the thing that we have to start working through and getting through some of this backlog. And the other good thing is, from a timing standpoint, we've passed the peak season for imports. Mm-hmm. That was one of the drivers, was the demand for imports was bigger than the demand for the exports from a vessel commercial mm-hmm. standpoint. Well, we're past that now, so maybe we can start working through some of this backlog.
Well, and I know it's not just an issue with, like, beef exports or meat exports. People are worried about Christmas shopping and getting all of that done as well, because it's just a huge issue all around.
Exactly. And it's truly an international supply chain issue. We have backlogs in Chinese ports and Southeast Asian ports. So it's not just the U.S., but the U.S. is being probably disproportionately impacted.
Well, I know you guys had your big meeting last week. What were some of the big takeaways?
Well, I think there's a lot of optimism. Demand is fantastic, as you know. I mean, demand internationally, demand domestically. Demand's not the problem. We do have challenges that we just talked about with the supply chain. But if we can just work through that a little bit and get back on the right track, we're forecasting record exports in 2021, mm-hmm. and our forecast for 2022 is continued growth, albeit maybe slower growth rate, but still growing. So this is positive.
Well, and I noticed in the past couple of weeks, we've had some pretty good news as far as a little bit of lighter tariff restrictions and things like that. Is that going to help going forward?
Oh, without a doubt. You're referring to the pork tariffs into Vietnam, but anytime we can get on a more level playing field with our competition, the U.S. is positioned to win. All we ask for is a level playing field and equal access, and the U.S. will win. So in that regard, things are going in the right direction, without a doubt.
And what's the latest update with the Asian markets?
Well, Asia's rocking and rolling. Japan and Korea are two largest markets. On the beef side, we're going to be in excess of $2 billion with both mm-hmm. of those markets. And on China, as you know, the biggest, fastest growing market on the beef side, we'll be pushing $2 billion there as well. So very, very good demand. Now, the other positive in Asia is that the COVID restrictions, which have impacted us most of 2021, are starting to be relaxed, finally. So this is a good thing, because we'll see food service start to come back. It won't be the way it was, but, you know, nevertheless, whatever the new normal is, it's coming back. So that should be a boost in demand as well for 2022.
Dan Hallstrom, CEO, President of the U.S. Meat Export Federation. You've got the Beef Buzz on Ron.
It's the 40th annual Oklahoma Select Bull and Female Sale and Super Bowl Competition, December 4th, 1 o'clock at Atoka Livestock. Featuring 70 breeding age bulls and 25 females, plus all bulls are eligible to be judged in the pens the day before the sale for the Super Bowl award. For more information, view the online catalog at www.americancattleservices.com or call Ken Holloway at 580-597-2419. That's 580-597-2419.
And that's your Beef Buzz. Have a good day. I'm Ron Hayes.